This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch.
Welcome to Oski Talk. I am Patrick Kazlin along with Anthony Pasquale, and Illinois' first game without Iowa Samuel did not go as planned.
Yeah, it didn't go as planned. That's four straight losses in the Big Ten now, but like in their defense, probably four of the toughest games you'll have all year. Mm-hmm. You know, Maryland and Michigan State, granted you had them at home, but those are not easy teams to play. Iowa and Rutgers on the road, those two games might be the two toughest places to play in the Big Ten. You could argue, at least. The RAC is the toughest place to play in the Big Ten, at least this year. They stay undefeated at home. Rutgers does 17-0 now, I think. First of all, that's insane. And, you know, Illinois, especially in the first half, a lot of effort. Like, they were fighting. They were fighting. It's just without Io and a little, they were missing a little bit of, like, chemistry offensively, and Rutgers is a really sound defensive team, so they struggled to get points up in that second half, and God, they could not stop Rutgers. Ended up with like 27 points. Harper Jr. He was nailing from everywhere he shot. So when you get a guy playing like that and you're missing your guy, that's a tough game to win.
Yeah, Harper Jr. killed us in that one. He was on fire. The big thing too, I feel like without Io, you live and die by the three now. And right. When Trent wasn't hitting threes and Allen was all right. Allen's been consistent in production. He hasn't really exceeded like we thought he would with Io out. We're not going to win. We have to hit threes in games. We didn't down the stretch against Rutgers, and then they end up blowing us out.
It was closer than a blowout, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It was. The score doesn't really reflect how the game ended, but – look, guys need to step up. I like the new
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. So, for those of you who missed the game, not only was Io obviously not in the game, he didn't play. Georgie didn't start either. They went Allen at the one, Trent at the two, Feliz at the three, and then four was DeMonte, five was Kofi Coburn. I love that lineup. You can play small ball with that lineup. You can create driving lanes. Those are probably your best lineup of shooters that you're going to get out there, but they can also play defense both ways. And then you got Kofi to kind of settle things inside. I like that lineup a lot. I think you use that again next time, especially since Georgie didn't wow me.
He was better at the five, I feel like. There was points when he was better at just being the only big guy out there.
Like last year.
But that being said, I think I might want Georgie back in the lineup because without Io, we're very thin at the guard position.
Yeah, especially when you're making Feliz play the three all the time. Right. That's more of a DeMonte or a Tev because mm-hmm. they're longer, they're bigger. But, that's a good point. With Io out, you're especially thin at guard, and then your forwards are supposed to be what's saving you, but instead we just had a four-guard lineup, you know?
Yeah, like which are the already only, we only thin, have four guards.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, is Tev a guard to you?
No.
Okay, so yeah, we have four guards aside from Io with Feliz, Trent, Allen, and then Io being the fourth. Mm-hmm, DeMonte can play some guard too. I think Tev is listed as like a guard slash forward mm-hmm. just because he's got like the body of a forward, but the skill of a guard pretty mm-hmm. much. So I think you could lump him in there if you wanted to. But, I mean, we even saw Tyler Underwood get in the game in that first half.
That's my point. Tyler had to play like at least 3 minutes, caught a foul and took a three and missed. Yeah. Terrible production from him.
He did take a charge, though.
No, that was a foul.
You're right. He took the charge in the Michigan State game.
Yeah.
That was a good charge.
The defensive stabilizer did not wow us.
Stabilize defensively.
Yeah, he did not.
That's a good point. We are especially thin at the guard position, so this would be a great time for Georgie and Kofi to solidify themselves as like a 1-2 combo down low, but mm-hmm. instead Kofi hasn't been the same guy as of late. He was good in the first half, pretty bad in the second, and Georgie's been all over the place lately.
Yeah, completely all over the place. And you got to resort to Tev, I feel like, more. Because you're so thin at guard, you have to play him more at the three.
He was okay.
Yeah.
He was okay.
He was all right. Like, I just think you need a little bit more production from him.
Yeah.
And hopefully he does. But, look, he didn't start the year. He's not really in great shape. But, look, you're going to have – without Iota Samu, Dosimu, we're going to be short with some guys.
Yeah. And, I mean, they know that. They know some guys are going to have to step up. Nobody really stepped up in that game. I mean, Allen was good and Feliz was good, but they were good as in good if Io was playing. They didn't step up above their normal production.
There's no one who was right.
Nobody excelled above their average production to the point where you could call it stepping up on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And they're going to need that when they play Penn State on Tuesday.
Absolutely. And before we talk about Penn State, we're going to go to a quick interview with Dylan Meyer, former Illini golfer.
Changing speeds, basketball to golf.
This is a great interview. I love talking to him. He's going to tell us a little bit about what he's up to now and what it means to be an Illini, a former Illini golfer. So up next, Dylan Meyer. This week on Oski Talk, we are joined by former Illini golfer Dylan Meyer. First of all, Dylan, I want to get into your nickname, DJ Defunk. For the people who don't know it, where does that come from?
Well, so this all started back in high school. One of my good buddies, Alex Waitman, he was working at the golf course that I was playing and practicing at and working at as well. He was a radio personality in the local area of Evansville, and we just, you know, got to know each other pretty well, and we started, he was a DJ outside of being a radio personality, so I went with him in a couple of the clubs he worked at, and that's just kind of how he came up with the name, and, you know, it just kind of stuck after that, and, you know, a lot of people just call me DJ, they call me Funk, they call me just about anything.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the origin of it, is all the way back in high school, but, you know, that job's kind of went away now that professional golf has taken over.
Yeah, it sure has. And I actually saw you at the Evans Scholar tournament over the summer. And I got to say, there was a lot of Illini fans. Do you kind of get that, like, wherever you go?
Yeah, that's one thing that I've always noticed is anywhere that I play at, you know, there's always Illini fans there. I mean, whether it be one or two or, you know, 50 to 100. I mean, there's Illini fans everywhere. And, you know, anytime that we play an event or that we're doing something and, you know, we see that block eye or the victory shield or the chief, we're always pumped up. At least I know I am. You know, I always go over and shake hands and tell them thank you for being great supporters and all the good stuff. And, you know, I truly appreciate all the support everywhere that, you know, I go and, you know, our team goes and anyone that's an alum that's playing out on tour gets to see the fan base it's great for us.
Yeah, and you're playing with a fellow alum in that tournament, Nick Hardy. Is it kind of easier to, you know, golf with guys you know or golfed with?
Yeah, you know, obviously you feel comfortable with guys. You know, it's a little different with Nick playing in a tournament setting. You know, him and I mean, we've roomed together for 4 years, you know, became, you know, best of friends. You know, we're the ultimate competitors and, you know, I mean, even though everyone thinks that, you know, we're great friends, but, you know, when we're out there competing against each other one-on-one in the tournament, you know, we want to beat each other's brains in and, you know, but once we shake hands at the end of the day, you know, we're back to being best friends and whatnot, but, you know, we're always going to be tied to that block eye and what we had with the four championships we won and, you know, all the memories we created at Illinois.
Yeah, you know, getting into Illinois, what kind of makes Illinois golf so special of a program?
Well, you know, you first have to start off with who's the head of it, and that's Coach Small. You know, what he's done ever since he's started as the head coach, just the culture he's promoted, the no-nonsense, teaches you how to be a professional, you know, day one that you're on campus, and your everyday life, not just on the golf course, but off the golf course. It really starts with him, but then, you know, it starts trickling down to, you know, our facilities are fantastic. You know, we have the best in the country, I believe, not just the Midwest, but, you know, the entire country. And then, you know, the people that support us, that come out and watch us play, the donors, the boosters, everyone that's involved with our program. You know, those are really the main things that, you know, made our program very special. And, you know, every time we went to an event, there's always someone there that we knew, or multiple people there that we knew. And, you know, just the overwhelming support we got everywhere we went was phenomenal, to say the least.
Yeah, and talking a little bit more about this year, are you preparing to get back on the tour this year already?
Yeah, you know, I've been practicing a lot lately, you know, getting ready. My game feels the best. It's been a very long time, back to whenever I was playing well my junior year and whenever I was coming right out of college. Game finally getting back to that point. Been playing a little couple mini tour events down here in Florida and playing well. And I'm going to be going over to Sarasota to do the Monday for the Corn Ferry event and, you know, working on a couple exemptions for the season. I just need one of those opportunities to play to showcase my ability of where I'm at right now. And then, you know, I'm going to be off to the races because it's just that's how my game feels. And if I go tee it up at a tournament right now, I don't care who I'm playing against, whether it's on the PGA Tour, Corn Ferry, wherever. I feel like I can win the event with no problem. And, you know, and that's a great feeling to be back out compared to what I was last year.
Mm-hmm. And for those Alana fans that you want to watch you on TV or go to an event, what are some events that Alana fans can catch you at?
Well, you know, I'm keeping my eye on, well, next week in Sarasota, hopefully a Monday qualify for that Corn Ferry event. And then, you know, going to be in Lafayette, Louisiana, going to be in the Midwest, looking at the Nashville tournament, Corn Ferry, Knoxville, Kansas City. Hopefully I'll be back up in Chicago for that event. I definitely love being up there. You know, those guys that the Western, they really know the WGA. They know how to run an event. They do a great job, great people. And like I said, being up there in Chicago, you definitely get the Illini fans to come out and see who all of us alums play. So definitely want to be there. As of right now, that's kind of all I have lined up and what I've thought of for my season.
Uh-huh. And kind of talking about your career now, all around Illini or professionally, what do you think is your most your biggest personal victory?
My biggest personal victory, well, I would have to say that it would be the Western Am. That one was huge. That really propelled my career in amateur golf to a whole new level and put me in a position to be where I'm at now and to be where I was going into my senior year of of college, junior year. I mean, I played well all throughout these events, and it just gave me a ton of confidence knowing that I can win a big time event and I can tee it up with the best of them. And you know, that really helped me whenever I first turned pro, and my first pro event was at Shinnecock for the U.S. Open. Sure, it was nerve-wracking, but I knew that, you know, I was able to step up and play in the biggest of stages in amateur golf. So this was no different. I mean, of course, it was a major, and it may seem different, but to me, it felt as if I've already played in a major championship and won one as an amateur. So, you know, stepping on that first tee and being able to play in that situation was a, you know, a phenomenal experience overall.
All right, and our final question here. Kind of what has Illinois, the university or the golf team, what has it kind of meant to you?
Well, it's meant everything to me. You know, Coach Small, he's not only just a great coach, but he's one of the best mentors. He's one of the best friends that I've got. He's someone I can lean on for absolutely anything that I'm on. You know, as for, you know, the guys that I've had on my team, it's a brotherhood. It's not just your teammates that you have for, you know, 3-4 years. It's people that you're going to be talking to and be best friends with for the rest of your entire life. And that's very valuable. And, you know, the people you get to meet around our program, all the fans that you get to meet, the connections you get to build, so valuable forward in not only just your professional life, but also because there's a lot of people that I've been connected to and been a part of through Illinois that have helped me off the golf course as well. I've become close to become very friends. That's truly what it's meant to me, the life that I want to live, and to be close to people that have the same interest in me, and that's, you know, rooting on Fighting Illini athletics, you know. So, you know, whatever it is, hopefully we get, you know, into the tournament. We're all together in game, you know, bowl games moving forward. It's just a great feeling and a great vibe to have the connections I do through Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for being on the podcast, Dylan. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you, Dylan, for coming on the show. We love talking to you. I love talking about golf for a while.
And as a caddy, I love talking about golf, yeah, too. You know, I wish this I would have been available to do this one with you. I was, I think, announcing women's basketball that day, but mm-hmm. Nonetheless, great interview, turned out great. He seems like a great guy.
Yeah, he really is, and he's just one of those guys who loves the Illini, and if you ever see him golf, there will be Illini alumnus around him.
Yeah.
They love watching him, and hopefully he gets kind of back into shape and is ready to go this year. But anyways, let's preview this Penn State game coming up. Somebody has to step up.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you look at this game, and it might be the might be one of the toughest games you're going to have all year. One, because you're assuming Io is going to be out again, right? That's an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
And then second of all, Penn State has been ungodly good on the road. I mean, at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been on an insane streak as of late. They just keep winning. They've already got 20 wins. They're soaring up in the standings. They're coming off a win against Northwestern the other day. It's not going to be an easy task for Illinois.
Yeah, the one guy who the biggest reason why I don't like playing Penn State is because Lamar Stevens is so good. Who do you put on him? He's like the perfect forward. He could hit threes. It might be DeMonte, but...
I was just going to say, he's... Okay, this is the situation we had with Maryland as well.
Yeah.
And Rutgers to an extent. This guy is too fast for Georgie, too big for DeMonte.
Mm-hmm.
There's no answer.
He's 6'8". He's too big for DeMonte. That's the biggest problem.
DeMonte's what, 6'3", 6'4"? Yes.
You think he's 6'4".
So 4 inches?
4 inches on him. He can shoot over him. He can hit the three.
Georgie's about 6'8".
Yeah, Georgie so is not fast enough. Yeah, he can't catch Lamar Stevens. So guarding him is going to be...
struggles defensively.
Right. It's going to be terrible guarding him. That's my biggest worry for this game.
Okay. All right. If you're Brad Underwood, play a zone?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm thinking 2-3 might work.
You might be right. I got to digest that.
Especially when you get up top with Trent and Allen, two very athletic guys that can suffocate the guards up top, and then let Kofi, Georgie, DeMonte, you know, Tev, Kipper, whoever's down low, get something. Get two guys on Lamar Stevens, but in a way where you can recover, might be a way to shut them down. I don't really know.
Yeah, it, like you said, Penn State has been ungodly good at home. We're going there. It's almost a must win, it feels like, again.
Yeah, we've been in must win for a while now, and it's been because this is the gauntlet of our schedule, and you can't lose every game in the gauntlet if you want to be a tournament team. You know, like, obviously, no one expected Illinois to beat Iowa, Maryland, Michigan State, and Rutgers to this point, but you got to hope they have at least two wins by now, at least one. This is almost as close as possible you can get to a must win at this point against Penn State. The only thing that makes it really difficult is the fact that Io is still day-to-day, and we have no idea if he's going to play.
Yeah, and on top of that, you're going to have another guard matchup with Mirion Jones. We'll see who picks him up.
Trent can probably take that one.
Yeah, I agree. That's probably who it will be. It's Lamar Stevens is going to be featured in this game. If he drops 30 on us, which he could, it's game over, but... look, yeah, your biggest hope if you're the Atlanta is Io comes back in this game, and maybe he does, but maybe you sit him another game and
yeah, or
and
if he
wait.
Does, like if he does come back, he's probably not going to be playing 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll probably play more of the Allen Griffin workload, like 20 to 25, and right. then get Allen and Feliz up in the 30s probably. Mm-hmm. But Io for 25 minutes versus Io for zero is a big difference.
Huge difference, absolutely. I like that point completely. But look. I'm not sure what they're going to be able to do at Penn State. You want to get into some score predictions?
All right, yeah, I'll give two. I'll give it if Io plays and if Io doesn't play. I think if he does play, actually, you know what, screw it. I think they win either way.
All right.
And it's bold, but I think...
But when you say they win, they tend to win.
And I think it's... I know it's bold because, like, they probably shouldn't win this game.
They really shouldn't.
This
they're,
is
they're
probably
not,
of, their, of their last five... The one that they're probably least likely to win, especially without Io. But this team needs a win in a big way heading into down the stretch. I think they need to win three out of the last five to get into the tournament. I personally think that. So you need this one, I think. And especially going on the road to beat a ranked team would look really great to the selection committee. So I'm going to say if Io plays, it's going to be a little higher scoring because they'll run a little bit more. And they'll win, Illinois will win 68-65. And then if Io doesn't play, I think it's going to be more of a defensive game. And I think Illinois comes out on top. Huge game from both Trent Frazier and Allen Griffin. Trent will look like the score we saw last year and the year before. Let's say he gets 18 points. And Illinois wins 55-49.
All right.
I'm going to take them winning either way.
All right. I have them losing either way. I don't think it's going to matter.
That was pretty expected after I went on my little spiel.
I don't think Io's coming back. I think they'll lose 70-55.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, this will be a bigger loss.
And
don't
they're
get
going to really need to get hot.
Yeah, don't get too discouraged, though. That's what I'm going to hate about this because – Look, all these games have been close. It's not like we've been blown out except for the last one, and we didn't even have our best player out there. So that sucks. But you got to pick up a win here. I don't think they do it, and you hope for the best down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this team down the stretch. You've got a home game against Nebraska. You got a home game against Iowa. And then you have to go on the road to Ohio State and then go on the road to Northwestern. And then host Indiana. So if you're looking at that, you should beat Indiana. You should beat Northwestern. You should beat Nebraska, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's three wins out of 6 games left. Winning one more between at Penn State, at Ohio State, or hosting Iowa should get you into the tournament, right?
I agree.
So even if they don't win against Penn State, they're still a really good look at the tournament, but... I almost think beating Penn State solidifies it. You know,
absolutely.
Getting a strong road win down the stretch against, number 13 in the country is, and probably going up after their week against Northwestern. This is recorded before the new are going to come out. Illinois is definitely going to be out of the top 25. But getting kind of back into that we're the underdog mindset might actually favor this team.
Yeah, I hope so, and we'll see. But that'll do it for Oski Talk. For Anthony Pasquale, I am Patrick Catazone. Thanks for listening. IOL.
I am.